Welcome to the Magic Potion Podcast, where a sprinkle and a dash can enhance your class. Listen to learn about tools, techniques, and stories from educators on ways to improve your lessons, create a positive culture, and much more. I'm your host, Kevin Reinemann, and now it's time to make it happen.
Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Magic Potion EDU podcast. I'm really pleased and excited to have my guest, Claudio Zavala Jr. on the show tonight. We've been trying to get this episode scheduled for, probably
a good while.
Well, we went back and forth there for about 6 weeks, but even then we were trying to schedule it back like in August or so. So anyways, Claudio, could you please introduce yourself, who you are, what your background in education is?
Sure. My name is Claudio Zavala Jr. I'm instructional tech coordinator in school district here in Texas. I've been here in Texas for 14 years. Previously, I was in California, taught for 11 years out there. So total in education been about 20 plus years, and it gets to a point where you start to lose count, but I enjoy helping students and teachers share their stories. That's really what my passion is, helping people share their stories. And so I like showing them different tools that they can use to create a video, to create a graphic, to create a nice little web page, or just anything for them to be able to share who they are and to let others know about them.
Okay. So it took you a while to, well, I guess I shouldn't say that because we haven't had a chance to talk about that at all. How did you find your passion for educational technology what was your path to get there, and how would you recommend that way?
Okay, that's a great question, because that goes along with my background. So, I would say the EdTech part kind of started back when I taught in California. There was 1 year where I've always been like kind of fascinated by computers and gadgets and things. And so I kind of just took the initiative to do things in the classroom. And my principal at the time was like, hey, would you be interested in being like a liaison here? And I said, well, what does that include? And it's like, well, like anything that has to do with like the computers, like helping them, but also teaching people how to do things with technology. And I said, oh yeah, I'd love to. And we wrote a grant and we got, I want to say 20, it was like 30 or 25 grand. And, so basically they were to purchase, those old iMacs, like the big, they were the colored ones. They were just called iMacs, I guess, back then.
Yeah. Set
all those up, taught people how to use them, and, created stations. And back then I was like putting in switches in the class and plugging them in, and it was all coming from like this, the speed. I can't imagine what it was back then. I can't think of that. Like if I were to do a speed test, it was probably really slow. But so I think that kind of sparked the interest in that and teaching people how to use tech in the classroom. It started off like, basically substituting, we're going to use a projector to do what we used to do on the wall. Now we're going to use a projector. And I've always been into photography and video, so kind of used that along with it. And came here when I moved here to Texas. Within a couple of years, I was starting to do the stuff in the classroom, and an opportunity opened up to become like an ed tech trainer in this district. They were going to buy all these interactive boards, and I was like, "Well, hey, this is a chance for me to kind of do this kind of stuff." I got the job, and so I've been doing that. Helping teachers use whatever initiative is, if it's like an iPad, a tablet, an interactive board, a projector, tools, apps, and just helping them do all that. And like I mentioned, I love photography and video. So one of my passions is I do a lot of freelance photography and video, side hustling, and share stuff on social media, like little videos and things I create, and people are like, "Hey, how do you do that? How did you make that? How did you put that together?" And so, it kind of helped launch a YouTube channel that I've been doing for like 2 years now. And so I'm like, "Hey, it's a nice way for me to reach out to more than just in my district." So, been doing that, and I guess all that just. I love doing the video. I love doing photography. I love teaching. So it kind of all blended together, which is really cool.
So what is your formal background in?
What I studied in yes, college, yeah. I guess, or is that?
Yeah. Well, like, were you into computer science or anything like that? Or did you go specifically?
This is going to be an interesting, this is an interesting, journey. So,
okay.
I started.
All right,
off,
put on your seatbelts, folks.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, initially, when I was in high school, I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to be an architect. So, I took drafting in high school. I took wood shop for 4 years. I can make you a nice kitchen table if you ever need one.
All right.
So, I blended those two things. I think really what I loved, I've always loved to draw and I've always loved to build. So that kind of like spurred that interest to do that. So I went to community college, took courses in drafting, and it's just one of those weird things. You just kind of get the point and you're like, man, I don't know if I want to do this. And I switched gears and I was like, what am I going to do? And I decided I'm going to be a fireman, be a paramedic, and which is like way like,
okay,
complete opposite. And
you hit the turn signal there.
What's that?
You hit the turn signal and you made a left.
a left turn. So my idea is, because I actually worked at a fire station when I was in, that was like one of my first jobs working at a fire station. Like I was 13, 14. And I guess, I don't know, maybe I said, hey, that was cool. And they work one day, they're off another day, they work one day, and then they're off for 3 days. So, well, maybe I can do the construction on the other 3 days. Well, anyways, long story short, I was about a few classes away from going to fire academy and took that left turn. And then I took another And then I took a right turn, took another turn. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll go into teaching. I don't know why, but it's just, I'm going to try my hand at teaching. So at that time, I transferred to the university, and my major was Spanish, and my minor was physical education, which with emphasis in baseball. So my goal was to be a Spanish teacher / baseball coach high school. That was going to be my plan. So finished that off, I graduated, became a Spanish, got my degree in Spanish. I was going to be a PE coach, but then I was like, okay, how am I going to get a job? So I don't know how I found this school district I was in had a kind of like an alternative certification program, and you get to work, and you already kind of start like on a temporary contract kind of. So I was able to do that and get paid, which was great, right out of college. And so I got put into an elementary school, and at that time I was like, it doesn't matter, just give me a job. Still wanting to be a baseball coach and teach Spanish in high school. Well, man, when I started that first kind of like trial elementary, man, it was really neat. I think at that time my youngest brother was about that age. So, I just always had that good connection with little kids or younger kids, and, enjoyed it. It was fun. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to stick with this. And, man, 11 years, 13 years later, I was teaching elementary, and in the bilingual class. So I still used my Spanish degree some, mm-hmm. But it was, it was basically kids that I taught, kids that were like me when I was a kid, learning English. Spanish is my it's my first language, and learning English. So it was like, I can relate to them, and man, it's a blast. Enjoyed it. And so, so that's,
did you get to coach baseball?
No, I didn't coach. I coached my son's baseball team, so that I still got to coach. and then coach the daughter's soccer team. So, never played soccer in my life, but YouTube is a great tool. You can learn a whole lot to coach.
So the tech side of things is, it's sounding like you had kind of a same thing with me. Like, that's just one of the things that you did and you always enjoyed, and your administrator saw something in you that, oh, hey, maybe we can use this and it can benefit the entire school then.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. That's exactly. I would say yes. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I don't want to say my path was the same as yours, but we have some similarities. You know, I went to college to be a teacher right off the bat, but my goal was to be a high school wrestling coach. And what do high school wrestling coaches do? Well, they teach. So I guess I should go be a teacher. and of course, a social studies teacher on top of that. So I went to school to be a high school social studies teacher. And, you know, I went back to my high school. I coached while I was going to college. And then luckily when I graduated, there was a job opening for math and technology. So luckily being in a private school, I was able to be hired in with a non-tax teaching license is what it's called here in Ohio.
Okay.
And you know, my first 2 years I taught math and in technology, and I had a social studies degree. Now those are two things I'm good at. I just didn't have the formal education in it. You know, all my time through college, I also worked at Staples as the resident technician. So, my principal would come in and buy stuff, and we talk computers, and he saw that I was perfectly capable of coming in and teaching those classes. So it just worked, you know.
Cool. And
I've been in the same district since then, and life's been good. You know, it's everything's happening for a reason there. So what, nice. If somebody's going on that journey, they're, you know, fresh out of high school or something like that, and you can see they're not really sure where they want to go, what advice would you give them to like help them find what it is that they're meant to do? That's a tough
man,
one.
Man, that is a great question. So I always enjoyed working with my hands. So I'm also a musician myself. My dad was a musician. My dad was a singer. I actually have his master's, his reel to reel master's from his LP that they put out in 1970, whatever it was. That kind of background. I always saw my dad singing, playing. I remember him, they would practice in the garage at our house, and whenever they weren't there, I would go in and play with the drums. You know, at that time it was just kind of like, oh cool, this is a noisemaker. And but my dad was a kind of a handyman. He did everything. He worked, he knew how, I mean, I would say he can build a house, because he knew he was an electrician, he was a carpenter, he can do concrete. And so we did a lot of work around the house, and I did a lot of work with him. I learned along with him, and so he taught me a lot. But I think I just enjoyed using my hands and making things. And I think that's kind of where my passion of creating, of doing things, of just keeping busy, even if it's taking something apart. So I say all that to basically, you know, if someone's coming out of high school and not sure what they're going to do, I mean, everybody's got a passion for something. And I think if you can figure out what that passion is, and maybe that's the hard part, finding out the passion, but you love doing certain things, you know, you love being outdoors. You love hiking. You know, you're a gamer. we know now, man, gamers, you can get a degree, you can go to college, you can get a scholarship as a gamer, you know, playing video games. But find whatever it is that you enjoy doing. And I mean, you get out of high school and everyone say you got to go to college. And I'm going to say this and may not be like everyone agree with this, but I mean, it just may not be for everybody. I don't know.
You got to do what makes you happy,
you know? Yeah, you got to do it. That, and I think that's the key is because then you get out and you're miserable. You're not like, man, I don't like doing this, but you know, find whatever it is that you enjoy doing. I mean, go try it, do it. I mean, if you're going to fail, you might as well fail trying out what you like doing. And you'll learn. And down the road, you know, it's like, I mean, I look at a lot of these people that are entrepreneurs and they're just doing some amazing things. And I mean, Steve Jobs didn't finish college, I believe. Bill Gates. I mean, there's a ton of people out there that didn't finish college, but they were just passionate. They went in and they started reading about coding. They started reading about, you know, engines. They started reading about art. They started reading about landscaping. And I think just try to find what you're passionate about and, you know, and run with it. Try it out. And you just never know.
And I think exposure is kind of a big thing too. Like you have to be willing to try new things.
Definitely. I would say yes to that. Yeah. You know, if I like to think if it's, I don't remember who said this, but you know, you're going to try something and then it doesn't work. Maybe you get a no, you know, there's a no to that, you know, it's like, that's a no for that. You know, I couldn't do it. Never mind. Well, I'm kind of saying no, and no is like, well, there's another opportunity somewhere else. You know, no just means another opportunity. Go over here, try something else. I don't remember where I heard that, so I'm not going to take credit for making that up, but I'll just say anonymous. But
I like it though.
No, it's just another opportunity. Yeah, and you go try something else, and if that doesn't work, you know, I think it's all about taking risk and just trying things out, and man, you'll find it. I'll use this for an example. You know, I wanted to play guitar so badly growing up. And I wanted to shred on the guitar. I mean, and my dad took me to guitar lessons, and the guy that was up there in the front was teaching. And I remember having my uncle's Les Paul. I was messing with it, and
whoa,
and the guy was just going, and I was like, oh man, it's just going to. I need to go faster. I needed to be faster. It's like the lessons were too slow, so I got impatient and I gave up on it. I wish I had not, but then, you know, later on I went with drums, and, you know, it's like, and, you know, 40 plus years later, I'm still playing them, but, you know, try something out. If it doesn't work, jump on something else.
Don't be afraid to hit that turn signal, right?
Exactly.
Oh, man. So another part of the magic potion formula here is get out there. That's what the G stands for in the middle. You know, get on Twitter, get on conferences. You know, Twitter's how we were able to make a connection together. Do you go to very many conferences?
I do. You know, I would say being here in Texas, there's a local state conference, TCEA. We just had at the beginning of this month. And so that's kind of like my first venture into conferences was that conference here locally. And it's a great conference. And if you ever get a chance, definitely come check it out. But then I started, one of the things about it too is putting yourself out there. So get out there, but also put yourself out there. You know, if you're afraid to speak in front of others, you know, but you have something to share, well, just try it out. And if it doesn't work, you'll try it again. But, you know, I think it's partly for me, it started going. And then the next couple times, like, well, I'm going to try to present. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like snowballed from there. So I had opportunities to go to FETC a couple years ago, ISTE right. now for several years. And there's a couple of others out there that I'm still trying to make it out to. But definitely even go to your local ones. Cause right here, I'm in North Texas. There's several local ones. There's one down in Houston, TCCA. And there's one up here in Denton area. It's called TIA, Technology in Action. So if you got any local ones, definitely hit those up as well. And then you have your little ed camps now and then. Those are great. Check those out. And definitely hit Twitter. That's a great place to connect with others. There's a bunch of chats that, if you're not familiar with the chats, if you're listening, it's basically hashtag something. And, you know, they'll meet. They're almost one every day, and you'll find the one that you kind of like. Will kind of you'll click with, and you're like, man, I'm enjoying this conversation, and you're meeting other people, like you mentioned. That's kind of where we kind of connected, and then you'll see people share ideas from all over the world, and you're like, wow, I didn't know you can do that, and then you just start. It's one of the great places for professional development, like professional development. It's great. Definitely go. If you're not doing it, you know, try it out. If you're nervous about being in a chat, you know, I like to say, lurk on the outside, you know, kind of watch on the outside and see what people are saying. And then, you know, then as you get comfortable, jump on in and into the chat. And, same thing with checking out a conference. Go, if you're able to, you know, attend your local ones. And definitely, if you can get out to like ISTE, that's great. ISTE kind of rotates all around the country. And if it's ever in your backyard, definitely try it out.
Yeah. And TCEA, that's one of my bucket list ones. I've heard so many great things about that conference. So that's on my bucket list, so to say. Same with ISTE. Cool. Someday I'll have to make it there. Been to FETC the nice. Past few years. Love that conference. That's the best yeah. one I've ever been to. But yeah,
so cool.
I mean, you threw a couple things out there that are perfect ways to get started, like ed camps and Twitter. The best thing about those is that they're useful. You're going to get something out of it, and they are free. So you can't pass that up.
Yep.
Free is great, yeah. especially with teachers. Educators love free.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, and then, you know, it's, I guess the only, I wouldn't say it's a negative. It's just, it's going to take some of your time, you know, cause chats happen all day, but even, you know, if you're teaching, you obviously can't be in a chat, you know, you have to wait till after hours. And then some ed camps, most of them that I've heard of. And, I think I've only attended very few is, they may happen on a weekend. So, you know, it's like, well, I'll give up a Saturday to go learn, but man, they're like you said, those are some of the best ones because they're kind of like, they kind of happen on the spot. You basically learn what you want to learn, which is if you've never tried an ed camp, those are really cool.
And they're passionate people. They're passionate yes. people looking to share what they know, and they want to learn more about other things. So they're hoping other people are there. So, I don't know, this is a little weird for me, and I don't want to come off as like insensitive or anything, but I've never quite understood it. Like some teachers are afraid to present at conferences, but yet they are okay presenting in front of groups of, you know, 15 to 35 students every day. I don't know. Maybe it's a peer thing or something. I don't know. I just haven't been able to.
I think yeah, I mean, like my wife, she does not love presenting in front of people, like adults, but she's in, you know, the classroom. I guess it's just a comfort level, but
I guess you are out of your element. You're not in your classroom.
You know, you are making yourself vulnerable, you know, it's but I think it's if you can get past that initial, you know, and be okay with like, if I make a mistake, you're going to make a mistake.
Yes.
It's like when you write first riding a bicycle, you're going to fall, but I don't want to fall. You're going to fall. At some point you will fall. You will scrape your knee. You will bump your elbow, but don't let that worry about falling and hurting yourself prevent you from having fun riding the bike, you know? So, my little analogy.
Yeah. You got to have the lows with the highs.
Yeah.
All right. So, something we were talking about before we pushed the record button is like integrating technology tools in the classroom and stuff like that. And what does a successful technology integration look like to you when you're working with teachers or you're trying to help pick a tool to use in a specific lesson plan?
That's a great question. I definitely want to say, I would say is don't make it about the tech. Don't make it about the technology. Okay. Always make it about the learning. Always make it about what the content. And then, you know, you'll, let's say, I'm trying to think of an example here. You know, we're going to study, oh gosh, let's do presidents. You know, we want to do a little project. We're going to do a little report on different presidents. Everyone pick one. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, I'm just being general. So, well, then what are some different ways that student can present, you know, instead of everybody writing the, a report, I would say is, you know, give them different tools that they're all going to do some sort of report. They're all going to kind of, give you the insight of, you know, hey, this president, this is, he kind of had a controversy, this president, this was his thing, you know, this other president, well, he was at the time of abolition of slavery. And so, you know, as a teacher, you would know a lot of that already, but you know, how is a student going to share what they know about it? Well, give them different avenues to share it. You know, don't just say everybody write a report, cause you're going to get 30 of the same thing. How about, with giving them an option like, well, you know, I like drawing. Well, why don't you draw something that represents, you know, to show me your understanding of the president, you know, whichever president you picked. Over here, this student's going to do a video. They're going to make a montage. This student over here is going to create a web page about it. This one over here is going to create a rap song, a lyrics, a poem, you know. So then I think for me, that is like the successful integration of tech in a classroom where you're seeing students being able to be creative in different ways that they can share their understanding of a subject, of a topic. Where, you know, maybe the challenge is, you know, how am I going to grade all these different things? But at the same time, it's like, well, if you're watching a video, I'm just going to watch the video. A student created this. Let me see it. Like, man, he did a great job. She did a great job. They showed me that they know what they're talking about and they did it in a creative way. So I would say that would be that, finding different creative ways to kind of sprinkle in that tech to share what students are learning. I think that's like the ultimate right there. That would be like the ultimate.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously you have all these, if you have access to all these things that the ultimate, you know, let's just say that's the challenger, but let's just, you know, you have the tech and that's going to be the nice, you're going to see all these 30 different projects of, you know, instead of just one, the same thing.
Step back and let them go. You got my wheels turned in here a little bit because I'm going to be starting a lesson here in the next week or so. Our eighth graders every year, they go to Washington, D.C. Sometime in April. So the past few years, I've gone in, you know, this is the first year I'm back in the classroom. Previously, I was, you know, just doing director of tech. Mm-hmm. And in support classes, kind of like what you're doing. But now that I have the seventh, eighth, and ninth graders in my class, I'm going to take the eighth graders and do a project that we traditionally did in their social studies class and do it in my tech class. And in that one, we take the itinerary from the Washington, D.C. trip. So we know which monuments they're going to go check out. We put them into small groups, and then they have to do a 3D design in Tinkercad, and then we print it off on the 3D printer. We take it down to DC. They stand in front of it and get their picture taken with it.
Cool.
But last year I added this extra piece on there where the group had to have somebody use Book Creator to make a comic book about their monument. You know, what was the point of the monument and stuff. And the kids did it. They did a phenomenal job, but the feedback I got from the students was Book Creator wasn't their thing. So they did it. They just didn't have the pizzazz. They weren't excited about it. So I've been struggling because I don't want to do that again. I want to be able to give them that leeway to do what they are excited about. So I think I got to do exactly what you just said there. Just sit back and let them as a group come up with how they're going to explain that. Is it a rap song? Is it a, you know, a slideshow of different moving pictures with Ken Burns effect or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Sorry. There's my cough again. Getting cool. Cold here. But yeah,
no worry.
That's, I mean, what kind of technology are you guys working with in your classrooms there?
So we have a little bit of a limited, devices, but with the ones we have, you know, we're doing a little bit of definitely we're a Google district, so we're using a lot of Google tools, Google apps. We have some sprinklings of Flipgrid here. We have some Adobe Spark. Very, very few, a little bit of green screen stuff. But you kind of sprinkle a lot of different things like that. With our limited resources, but those are kind of some of the things, you know, showing the creating videos, presentations, and some students I wouldn't say I haven't seen anybody do any songs per se. I've heard of others doing that, but that's kind of like I would say, if I'm in a classroom, yes, just make a song.
And that's your little background where you want to get that song in there. With yeah, your yeah. instrumental background there.
Oh, yeah.
So, are you currently reading books or anything right now?
I'm a slow reader. I don't read quickly through books.
Okay.
Having said that, what I've done is I've got several books on Audible, so I kind of will listen to that. I have like a 45 minute drive, so some days I'll listen to a podcast. Other days I'll listen to a radio. Some days I'll put on a book. So okay. The one that I'm currently like reading, listening to, it's interesting because there's like a little button on the app. So as I'm driving, if I hear something that like, ooh, I like that. There's Audible has a little bookmark thing where you tap it and it'll kind of like create a mark that so you can go back later and listen to it again. But it's called Create Like Da Vinci. So that's kind of one of them that I'm listening to. And the author is Peter Hollins. And it's very interesting because it talks just about how Da Vinci, you know, his whole thought process, you know, if you've ever studied Da Vinci, I mean, the guy's a genius. Designing the helicopter, maybe the first idea of a helicopter and all the different things he designed and created. And so he goes through the process of how Da Vinci, how he is a creator, how he created and basically how we can be creators like Da Vinci and go through his processes. And so it's a very interesting book. Another one that I'm looking at is Creativity Inc. And, it's written by Ed Catmull and Amy Wallace, and there's a big picture of Buzz Lightyear on the cover. So
nice.
This is the creativity. I believe they used to either work there at Pixar or still do, but they just talked about the whole process of creativity within that whole organization. So it's pretty interesting. I basically just started listening to the beginning of that. So, it's really neat. Like I just like diving into that kind of stuff, like hearing how people think and go through the process of creativity and, you know, how I can apply some of that in my own life.
Oh, I love it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with you using Audible, I'd much rather you be listening to a book while driving than reading a book while driving.
Thank you for that. It would take me a long time to drive and read a book.
Oh, man. One of the questions I really like to ask all my guests that come on is, if you could travel back in time to when you were starting out as a teacher, or if you're talking to that brand new teacher that's starting this upcoming August, what advice would you give to somebody that's an education major or a first year teacher? Like, how can they start their career off on the right foot?
I when you sent me this, the kind of the questions ahead of time, I was looking at that. I'm like, oh, that's just a great question. I love, you know, it's not the first time I've been asked that question, which is great. I what kind of advice as a new teacher, if I could go back in time and talk to myself, I tell myself to invest in something. apart from that, teachers that are starting off now, getting fresh in college and like, hey, I'm in a teacher program. I want to be a teacher. I'm majoring in it. I want to teach when I graduate, and you're a first year teacher. So some of the things that came to mind is when I saw that, and I kind of wrote down these four notes, is you're going to have to be flexible. And what I mean by that is, if you're trying something out and it's not working, it's okay to put it to the side and try something else. You know, a doctor, you know, he's practicing medicine. So you're in essence practicing education. You're practicing pedagogy. You know, you're learning it. So be flexible. And if it's not working, try something else. You know, so if someone else, if you have a colleague there that has an idea, you know, try that out, take it. And so, don't get stuck on one thing. So be flexible. And with that, I also say take risk too. You know, try that idea that you've been thinking of. And, if it's like, well, I'm going to have them, you know, write a poem for this instead of doing this. That's taking a risk. Try it out. Take risk. And I'm going to add another bullet here that I just thought of, and I'll say this one now is connect with others. Find those that you can reach out and get support from and learn from, and also share, whether it's like someone there on your campus or like we mentioned earlier on Twitter, connect with people, grow your personal, your PLN, your personal learning network, professional learning network. Several more here is take care of yourself.
Good one.
You know, take care of yourself. There's so much burnout in education in the first 5 years, and a lot of times, you know, it's gonna be stressful. You know, a lot is put on you. You know, we have state tests and things like that, demands from you, but ultimately, you know, take care of yourself physically. You know, get out there, if exercise, walk, bike, sit out in the sun, relax. Take care of yourself physically. Eat well. Drink lots of water. You know, so the physical part. Mentally, take care of yourself as well. I think that's key. I mean, you can burn yourself out. I mean, you're gonna benefit yourself, but your students will benefit from having a teacher that's taking care of himself physically, mentally. I'm going to say this too, and spiritually, if you go to church, if that helps you out, do that as well. Take care of yourself in all those, whatever aspects of those three. I think that's key. And lastly, have fun. If your students see that you're having fun, they're going to have fun learning. And if you can make learning a lot of fun, if you're a fun person, I've been teaching for 20, I've been in education for 20 plus years. I've been around some amazing educators that are a lot of fun to work with, and their classrooms are fun. And I've been around some people that are like, why are you in education? Mm. Good Lord. Yes. You shouldn't be here. I hate to say it, but like, I felt bad for their students in that class. Man, it's like, maybe that's mean to say, but it's like, have fun. Just have fun teaching, have fun learning. I'll add one more extra. Keep learning. Never stop learning.
Nice.
I've going back to being a musician, there's drummers that I follow that are just so amazing from different bands you probably listen to. And I think these guys are like the masters of the instrument. And I've been at clinics, I've watched them on videos, and they say, I am still learning. And I'm like, good Lord, if you're still learning, I'm like terrible. But you can never stop learning. Keep practicing. So those are my tips for those of you who are first year or education majors.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's like that keep learning, that's that, you know, that might help you find your passion if you haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And to add back on your taking care of your stuff yourself, physically, mentally, spiritually, and everything, you're going to have bad days. The kids are going to have bad days. Your coworkers will have bad days, and the parents will have bad days. But we will also all have good days. So remember to celebrate those good days and not just let them get drowned out by all the bad stuff. Because every day, somebody somewhere is having a bad day. So stay on that positive note, right?
Yes, definitely. Awesome. And it's hard, but you can be positive.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I really, really appreciate it. If my audience members would like to touch base with you, what's the best route for them to get a hold of you?
Oh, sure. You can find me if you look up my name, Claudio Zavala Jr., CLAUDIOZAVALAJR. You can find me there on all the social media platforms. Just I use the same at Claudio Zavala Jr. You'll be able to connect with me there. And connect with me. I love connecting with folks.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Oh man. I don't know. I think I'm good. I think I love it. I had a great time, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on. Audience members, just like always, go out there and make it happen.
Thank you for listening to the Magic Potion Podcast. This podcast was created using Anchor FM. Please subscribe and leave comments with your thoughts and ideas from the classroom. Until next time, get out there and make it happen.